Well, today we're continuing on with Advent. It's the second Sunday of Advent, and we're focusing on peace. And as we talk about peace, I'm going to cover many things that I just want you to write down the reference of where they are. I'll read them, and you can turn there if you want, but I'll move through those a little quickly, and then we'll get into the scripture that we'll be focusing on for today's message. But in the very early part of the Bible, peace is mentioned. And actually, the first time it's mentioned is mentioned when the family wants to make friends with people that have harmed their daughter and their sister. And they've done wrong by her. And they said, well, we have peace with this group. Let us do this. Let us welcome them in and make friendships with them and partnerships. And then we'll kill them. And I thought, well, I didn't want to start out with that one. I guess I just kind of did, but I'm not going to focus on that one. So in Numbers chapter 6, we hear about peace, and it's verse 22 through 24, or through 26. And it's talking about a priestly blessing, and Moses is with God, and God speaks to Moses, and he says, here's what I want you to tell Aaron and his sons, and here's how I want them to bless the people, the children of Israel. And it's sometimes used as a benediction by different pastors, different denominations. And it says this in verse 24 of Numbers chapter 6. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So from the early start of the Bible in the Old Testament, God is talking to his people. He said, here's how I want you to bless the children of Israel. Moses, go tell Aaron and your sons, tell them this is a blessing that they should give to the children. And he does this blessing, but the last part of that, and to give you peace. And it's important to God that his people know that they have peace. Amen? And it's the same thing with us today. Numbers chapter 6, and there where it mentions that communication with God and Moses and his personal encounter with him. And I thought it was interesting. He's not telling Moses, this is what I have for you. He just says, this is what I want you and Aaron and his sons to give to my people. Thought, okay, great. The Lord bless you and keep you and do all these things. Boom. That beats the other one I was going to start with back in Genesis. And then the Psalms. The Psalms are covered with offerings of peace. Actually, the Old Testament is covered with that also. Many different scenarios where people are making peace offerings with one another. Peace offerings to God. But David in the Psalms is speaking to God and references peace a lot. I have found peace. God, help me find peace. And at times he's searching for it. And other times he's found it. And other times he's praying that God will give that to other people. We don't have time to cover all the things in Psalm, but I wrote down one that I like a lot. And it's in Psalm chapter 4. Actually, I'll just read the whole thing. And it says, hear me when I call. And I like this one because I thought this really applies to where we are today. But Psalm chapter 4 says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Has God ever relieved you in your distress? Now, I didn't say, did God relieve you in all of your distresses? Has God relieved you in any of your distresses? Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. He set them apart. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. But I want you to focus on this. This is what I really like about this psalm. It says there are many There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. In verse 8, the very end of chapter 4, it says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I just thought, I love that. I will lie down in peace. And God talks about this in the New Testament, or the New Testament writers talk about this. And they say, I will give you peace. And I will give you rest. And they're talking about in reference to being with Jesus. He will give you peace and he will give you rest. Those who know him, those who come to him, they will give him rest. And we may be sleeping a lot of hours, but not have that rest and that peace. But when we're with Jesus Christ, that rest and peace that he promises us as we walk with him and lie with him, there's no comparing that to any number of hours of sleep. I love that. In Psalm 120, verse 6 and 7, it says, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And I thought, man, is this where we are today with a lot of people? Too many situations like this in the homes, in the schools, in the churches even. Psalm 120, verse 6 and 7. And I want us to think about this for a minute. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. Maybe you've got people in your life that just do not like peace. Maybe they just aren't familiar with peace. And it says, I am for peace, but when I speak to them, they are for war. You have people like that in your life? In your work, in your schools, in your homes. It could be a spouse, could be parents and children, children versus children. I talk to my brother, I talk to my sister, and I try and be nice, but they're just always hateful to me. It says, I've dwelt too long in that. We need to get out of those situations. We need to be, if we're on the other side of that, that we hate peace, then we've got a problem if we know Jesus Christ and have asked him into our heart. Because somewhere along there, when we've asked him into our heart, we've cut him off. We have blocked his path from working in us and transforming and changing us and renewing us. When we take off the new man that we put on, he should be there stopping us going, wait, what are you taking me off for? But we've blocked that person of Jesus Christ from transforming us and from using us and making us his instruments to touch and help and reach others. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew says. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We mentioned that a couple weeks ago. I mean, Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, was pretty straightforward about what he wanted of us. I talked last week about our study, and it said, he went across the river and multitudes followed him, or across the lake, the sea. And many followed him, and he taught them many things. And I was scratching my head going, I wonder what he was teaching them. Because again, I don't think he was out there saying, hey, you guys need to come follow me. I think he was who he was, and he didn't need to tell people, but when they asked him, are you the Messiah? You say it is so. So he didn't have to wave a big banner around saying, I am the Messiah. I am the new Savior. They knew by his teaching. It says constantly in the Bible, they were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed when he spoke to them. He was familiar with the Scripture. And he was able to say, wait a minute. You're telling me this, but does the Scripture not also say this part? That makes you a hypocrite, he told them. We have to be familiar with all parts of this. But he came preaching love and peace. I come that you may have joy and have it more abundantly. Turn real quick, if you would, to Micah chapter 5. And Micah is at the end of the Old Testament, at the very end, but almost at the tail end of the New Testament, the last couple books. And as you're turning there, I just want us to think about, blessed are the peacemakers. Are you the one finding fault in everything you see? Do you go looking for fault in everything you see? And I'm not talking about my job as a such and such requires me to inspect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about finding fault in people because you can. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about relationships. Do you find fault because you can? Or because you enjoy it? Or because you want someone to know they're wrong? Usually they'll know that. Maybe you enjoy pointing it out. I don't know. I'm thinking about our relationship with God even. You ever find fault with God? I don't raise your hand or point out someone that didn't here, but we can do that. God, I prayed you didn't answer my prayer. I assure you, God answered your prayer, and I assure you, He heard it. His answer did not line up with what you were looking for, but I assure you, He heard it, and He answered it. And we have to understand that God is God, and He answers it knowing that this is His perfect plan. Well, I've got a 5-year plan written out, and it didn't work out into that. Well, throw that thing away. Because God is still going to be God and do what He wants, whether you make room for Him in your plan or not. He is still going to do His own thing. And He'll come in there and He'll pull out His big, gigantic pen and He'll say, yeah, I didn't plan that. You planned that. Oh, but by the way, that's my plan for you. See, you didn't count on me working in your life. But I'm still here, and I'm still God, and I'm still the King, and I'm still going to do my will. Because I'm the King. I am the King of Kings, and I've sent my Son, and He is the King of Kings. And we have to be reminded of that. God, you've brought this on in my life, and I don't know how to handle it. But God, I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to accept that from you, and I'm going to look to you for ways to get through this. Amen? But we constantly say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Would you guys pray for me? Yeah, but God still may want to hear from you also directly. Jan, can we flood your emails and your cell phones? Could you just have everyone pray for me? Now, I'm not going to do anything for myself, but I want you guys to do that work. And I'm thinking she'd love to send back probably sometimes. Man, if you guys would just talk to God, I think He'll hear you and give you the answer you're looking for. Now, there's nothing wrong with notifying our prayer minister of that. I'm just saying that He also desires for us, and we, Pastor Eric, myself, and I'm sure Jan, we desire for you guys to also pray for yourself. That worship today, something about it just really reached me down deep. And I thought, man, I am in the presence of God right here. And I am in the presence of the Holy Spirit today. And I felt it, and I felt it powerfully in this place. And I thought, as we talk about that Word of God speaking in our lives, transforming us, there's no telling what we can do. We can take this that didn't happen the way we planned it. We just walk right past and say, but this is what's going on right now. He is helping me live through this. He is helping me get through this. He's helping me through this. But I was too blind to see. I had those scales on my eyes. My eyes are wide open now, but my spiritual eyes were covered with scales. And that's why I prayed, man, God, just wash down on us, rain down on us, a rain that just removes us from our eyes. But we can't be God's critics and find fault in the things that He does or doesn't do that weren't part of our plan. Because the Bible tells us constantly, pray His will. If you ask His will, let's say ask what you want. Lord, we'd all be rubbing that genie in the lamp thing. As Christians, if our view is that, it's tainted and it's out of focus and it's out of whack. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago that sometimes we give our religion and our Savior a bad name by the way we act and react to things. Myself right there with you. Advent season. We've got 3 more Sundays. 2 more for the Advent. And then 1 that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And in case you missed that, we are having church service on that day. Same time. We will not be having the Sunday school class that day, but we will be meeting that morning, 10:30. No better reason to celebrate on a Sunday than the birth of Jesus Christ and a Savior. And we'll certainly do that on Christmas Sunday. Isaiah 9. Just write this down. I'm not going to go there. But Isaiah 9 verse 6 is part of what we'll be talking about in the upcoming weeks. About Him proclaiming the Messiah that is coming. And it says, His name shall be called. And it goes through this list of names. But right in the middle of that is Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Prince of Peace. He will be King of Kings, Prince of Peace. All these different names. But He is the Prince of Peace. Did I ever get to Micah chapter 5? I don't think I did. Micah chapter 5, I'm sorry. I get excited about that, verse 4 and 5. I said, as you turn there, and then I went into my story. So Micah chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, and it says, And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Amen? And this one shall be peace. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and that's where we'll spend pretty much the rest of our time. The glancing blow past 2 other scriptures. But Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be in verse 14 through 22. Well, that's where we'll start at least. 14 through 22 in Ephesians 2. And it says, For he himself is our peace. We could stop right there and just be done today, but we're not. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. I don't have any peace in my life. He himself is our peace. Look to him. Seek him. Talk to him. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. That's a whole lot of stuff to say again, that he is our peace. But it's not just that he is our peace. It said when he did this, not he is our peace, he's already said that. But when he did that, it says, then he is making peace. So he is peace and he is making peace for us. I mentioned before in reference to harmony and unity. You can play 2 notes on the piano at the same time. And that's unity. Hey, we're doing this at the same time. But if those notes aren't the right notes, you don't have harmony. You have disharmony. And this reminds me that not only is he our peace, but he is making peace for us as well. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you. Well, Adam, that answers one of your questions. I wonder what he was teaching. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both, those that are near, those that are far, both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And that's what we're thankful for, that the lost and found both have access to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So now we know where our peace comes from and we know who our peace is. Blessed be the peacemakers. Blessed are those that search after peace. The scriptures have different areas where they talk about searching for peace and be diligent to look for peace, and people that sought out peace and the blessings they'd have by searching out peace. Yeah, I get we can be angry about things, but can we search out peaceful resolutions? That may mean putting ourselves back here and somebody else up here. So let's go backwards a little bit. Verse 11 now. I love going someplace and working backwards for some reason. Don't ask why. Don't speculate that my life is backwards, but I just enjoy doing that. Because when we get to the main point, I like going backwards to see how did we get there and what leads up to that. Verse 11 says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Think back when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And it says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Here we are. That's a powerful thing because it reminds us, and this season I want to be reminded of where we were and where we've been and who we are and who we were. Some of us have very colorful stories about our past and where we are now, and some just fairly normal. But I want us to be reminded of where we once were. I was lost, but now found. I was blind, but now I see. We've got to remember that. When others aren't seeing the same thing we're seeing, when they're not in the same place that we're in. And we may think that some are lost or blind. Talk to a blind person that's really connected with their surroundings. Yeah, I'm blind, but man, let me tell you, I see all kinds of stuff. I see things that you will never see with your eyes. Oh my Lord, that guy must be lost in the mountains. He's having to climb up rocks. No, this guy's over there rock climbing and saying, no, I enjoy doing this. So we think that people are in places that they may not be. We have to remember where we once were. This tells us, remember where you once were. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. But now Christ Jesus, who was once afar off, has been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We call that grace and mercy and love and peace that we share with other people when we found Jesus and we want to share that with Him. Just to be sure, let's go backwards one more section. Chapter 2, verse 1. We could have started at the beginning, but no. It says, "And you were made alive, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Sounds pretty scary. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even," listen guys, "even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." He made us alive together with Christ. By grace. By grace we were saved. "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. So He's shown us here the grace and mercy that has been given to us. We also should give that to others when we look at them. Philippians chapter 4, real quick, I'll read this. Verse 4 through 7, Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God will be there. The peace of God is for us to enjoy, for us to relish in. Two more scriptures real quick. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And let the peace of God rule. Not just exist and hang out and be there, but let it rule in your hearts. Let it take over all the other things in there and let it rule in your hearts. "To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." We just celebrated Thanksgiving. Be thankful. That should be an attitude that as Christians we have throughout the year. And not just, oh, it's Thanksgiving week, let's be thankful. We should be thankful at all times. Amen? And then in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. God sent His Son, the Prince of Peace, to us to bring us peace and to give us peace, to be peace and to make peace. He gave us examples throughout the Bible, and the one thing that I remember that I thought of as I was doing my studying on this was in Matthew chapter 14. It's in some other scriptures as well. When they were out in the boat and they're being tossed, what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Finding a little peace. Disciples were doing what? Riding that thing out, saying, "Oh my gosh, we're being tossed about. Whatever shall we do?" And Jesus got up and said, "What are you guys worrying about?" And here's what He said. "Be of good cheer." When He walked on the water, "Be of good cheer. It is I. do not be afraid. The message is still the same today, church. Be of good cheer. For it is I. Do not be afraid. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Advent season. Lord, we ask that this is a time that we are reminded of the upcoming birth of Jesus Christ. The expectation of the coming hope. The message that God is with us. And we ask today, Lord, that during this time, you would give us peace, that you would grant us peace, and that we would find peace, Lord. We would find it in different places that we've seen all along but never paid attention to. Lord, we pray that you would transform our hardened hearts, where they are hard, where they are cold, that you would warm them up. You would soften our skin. You would soften our outlook. Remembering where we once were, but where we now sit. We're thankful and grateful for that. God, help remind us as a church body of the work that we have to do. The work that is out there for us, and to serve one another in love and gladness of heart. Lord, as we leave today, remind us to be of good cheer, that you are here and we have no need to be afraid. Help guide our steps and our actions as we go out there, and help guide our mouths and our tongues and our words, Lord, as we speak to those we know and don't know. And let us carry with us the places we go, the aroma of Christ, reflecting your light and your love to a lost and dark world. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.